and welcome to the second ever episode of Park the Bus, the Gazette's high school soccer podcast here on the Iowa Prep Sports Podcast Network. My name is Nathan Ford, joining you for the first time. Ryan Plagenkuhl is back, our Gazette soccer correspondent. He's going to have a lot of details about the games last week. The only game I was at was in Kansas City, Arrowhead Stadium, Inter Miami's 3-2 win over Sporting KC. Got a chance to see Messi for the first time. I'm going to guess there was a lot of other Iowans in the, among the 72,000. I know there was some in my section. So, but Ryan, you were back in Eastern Iowa. You got a chance to see some high school soccer last week. You're going to tell us a little bit about that. How was your week?
It was great. And Nathan, somebody had to hold the fort down here while you're off having fun in Kansas City, but looked like a great time. I saw some highlights from the game. And did you happen to run into Patrick Mahomes while you were there?
No, my wife was hoping we would run into Taylor Swift, but she didn't show up. Not sure what she's up to these days, but, and I didn't even know Patrick Mahomes was there until after the game and I saw it on social media. So no luck for me. Got to see a Messi goal. That's about all I could ask for.
Yeah, that's about as good as it gets.
So high school girls soccer, rankings were released on Thursday. We'll have some more rankings in a few days. We're recording this on Monday night. We know there's some games Monday night, but there's pretty much games every night in high school soccer, unlike some other high school sports. So this is the night we're going to do it. What is it looking like rankings wise for the Gazette area?
Yeah. So we got quite a few area teams that are ranked. Class 1A, we have number 9 Center Point Urbana. And that's actually the team that I got to go see play in person here this last week. Touch on them a little bit more here in a moment. Number 14 is Anamosa. They're back in the rankings there. Chloe Breitbach had a nice week there. I think we'll get to her in a little bit too. Class 2A, we have number 8 Independence, number 10 Cedar Rapids Xavier, number 11 Iowa City Liberty, and then 15th is Clear Creek Amana. They're off to a pretty hot start, but they did take their first loss of the season last week. And then 3A, we have number 6 Linmar, number 13 Iowa City High, and then number 14 Iowa City West.
It's the last few years, I feel like some of the same teams have kind of been in the same spots. Like when I saw Linmar at number 6 and City High at number 13 and 3A, I was like, that is pretty much exactly where they've been the last few years. But did anything stand out to you last week? Any team, which team stood out to you last week?
Quite a few, actually. I kind of went through my teams of the week. And, you know, I went to see Independence play Vinton Shelsburg earlier this season. That was the first game I went to. And Vinton Shelsburg, you know, Independence did beat them 5-1, but Vinton Shelsburg's been hot ever since that game. And this past week they went 2-0. They had that road win over Clear Creek Amana, so that was the Clippers' first loss of the season. I think that's pretty significant there for the Vikings. Camden Earhart is a freshman, and she had the game winning goal there. So, and then they blanked West Delaware 9-0. So, you know, that's a team that could be kind of on the rise this season. That's not not a team I really had on my radar necessarily, but they've been kind of off to a hot start. The other team is the game I attended was Center Point Urbana, and that was a thriller. That was out in Solon, a nice Wamat game. Boy, it's tough sledding in that conference on both sides, boys and girls. But the game was tied at 1-1. I think both teams had first period goals. No scoring in the second, no scoring in the first overtime period, no scoring in the second. So it went to those PKs. After 5 PKs, it was 3-3. So then we had to go to the 6th. And then Emerson Fleming had a nice block. And then Addie Tupa she scored the game-winning goal there for CPU. And she hadn't had a goal in the season. She's more of a defensive player for Center Point Urbana. So that was a cool moment for her and the team. Emily Bow had a nice the first period goal, and thing about Emily is she was an all-conference player, all-district player last year, led the team in goals, but now she's playing kind of a different role, more of a facilitator this year. She leads the team in assists, and but she got her second goal of the year, and she's had several assists to Lily Miller over there, who's their leading goal scorer with seven. But that was a good game. CPU's undefeated, and it was Coach Kevin Schmidt called it a really good test for their team on Tuesday. So that was a fun one to watch. So those are a couple teams that kind of stood out to me last week.
Those penalty shootouts are always exciting when it gets past the round of five, because those are the players who were not expecting to take PKs. And it's kind of fun to see who's step just is ready to step up and be like, all right, well, I gotta take it now and win the game. Cause I mean, that prepares you for the postseason when it really is like win or go home. I'm obviously most soccer games around the world, you just tie. And then I kind of like that they just determine a winner with the shootout, especially if it goes past the round of five. Vin Schelsberg is a sneaky good team, I think, on the girls' side. I think they've had four straight winning seasons, but they've never really climbed into that upper echelon. That they've lost a couple times to CPU in the regional tournament, and obviously CPU has been to state a few times. So the WOMAC in general is just crazy from what I've seen. I think Solon is 0-4 against WOMAC teams. They had that loss in penalties. They've lost three games by a goal. So it's like there's going to be some jostling rankings wise, like postseason wise, who's going to get the home field advantage, who's going to get the higher seeds. But you look at how close some of those games are. I mean, there could be some upset potential looking ahead to the postseason. That's really not that big of an upset because all those teams are so tight.
Yeah, every game's competitive. And I think Coach Schmidt there from CPU was happy about it. And, it was a test of their, will to win. And he thinks he has a strong team there. They've been strong traditionally and they look no different this year. That's a team that should be battle tested come postseason time.
Any other players that stood out to you last week?
Yeah, absolutely. I mentioned Chloe Brightback. She's a senior from Anamosa. Kind of a key member of that team, kind of helping turn that program around. She had five goals in a 10-0 win over Northeast last week. And then they played a close match against Regina, came up a little short, 3-2, but she did score in that game as well. So that's, she's been a player that's really stood out these past couple seasons, and she had a nice week last week. And then on the other side of that game, Gabby Supel, from a senior from Regina, she was responsible for four of the Regals' five goals last week, and Regina went 2-0. So they've been playing some pretty good soccer there. Those would be a couple that their stats kind of jumped out.
Nice. Yeah. That class 1A on the girls is kind of interesting still, because they still have just three classes compared to the boys four, and there's 76 some teams, I think, on the 1A girls side, and you've got the tiniest schools and then some more middle-sized schools. So that's going to be tough for some of those teams to break through to state, and you kind of have to measure success a little differently. And I think Anamosa, not saying they can't get a state because they can, but just them breaking into the rankings the last couple of seasons has been pretty cool to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I remember correctly, when I talked to the coach last year, I think they hadn't had a season of 500 or above since like 2004. Yeah. So last season was really a milestone year for them, and they continue to build kind of that winning culture. And Chloe Brightback is kind of at the center of that. So,
Speaking of the boys' classifications, four classes there for the last couple of years now, and they are doing the rankings a little differently now. It's kind of gone back and forth over the last few years. They used to have a coach's poll, and my qualms with that poll was always that it would be released like a day or two after it, like into the week after more games were played. So then they switched it just to the bound formula, ELO ratings. And those were, as the season went on, they got more reliable, but they would kind of establish some narratives earlier in the season that had teams and wondering why they would drop so fast. And it's just because there weren't as many games. But now they're going to the committee approach, which they've done. The Iowa High School Athletic Association has done for football and basketball. They just released the first rankings today.
Yep.
And then they're going to use those for the postseason, which I think is good. I hope that the rankings, I think that they put together good committees. I just hope that they really look at the best teams and best resumes and don't focus so much on wins and losses. But they've waited a few weeks into the season to release the first rankings, which I think gives them a good foundation. So I don't know if you have those in front of you, but what do we have? What do we
I
have?
Do. I just saw that break this afternoon. Yeah, so there are some this is the Iowa High School Athletic Association's first poll. So we'll start from 4A down. 4A, we have number 6, Iowa City West. A bunch of teams in 3A. You got number 5, Marion. Number 7, Cedar Rapids, Washington. And number 9, Cedar Rapids, Xavier. And then 2A, you have number 8, Williamsburg. Number 9, Decorah. And then there's 4 teams in the Gazette area that are actually ranked in 1A. You have number 2, Iowa City, Regina. Number 4, West Branch. Number 5, West Liberty. I always love watching West Liberty. They play a fun, fast style of soccer there. And then number 6, Nathan, this is my alma mater, North Fayette Valley. So really, really proud of what they've done so far this season. Pretty exciting.
That is great, yeah. I definitely want to get into North Fayette Valley a little bit because when you first start a soccer program, and there's some schools that have just started the last couple of years, they tend to struggle right out the gates. And North Fayette Valley went 3-10 its first season, and they've had 4 straight winning, or I don't know how many straight winning seasons, but they're 42-15 overall since then. They've been to 2 state tournaments. They must have a good youth program up there. They must have a lot of kids that want to play soccer because they've just been really good the last few years. And it's been cool to see them just kind of come out of nowhere on the varsity level.
Yeah, you know, it had to have been after I graduated because we didn't have soccer in high school when I was there and graduated in 08. So, yeah, there have been some changes. But, yeah, they've put out a really good product here the last few years. And it's fun to see. It's fun to see. They're, you know, I feel like traditionally we've been kind of known for football as kind of our bread and butter. But now we have, you know, football as our bread and butter in North Fayette Valley. So, yeah, fun to see that program evolve. And I can't wait to get back home and see a game. So,
well, in 2A, I was a little surprised that Benton Community didn't crack the top 10 this week. They got a win against Williamsburg. I think you were there.
I was.
Can you detail that a little bit?
Yeah. So, and again, according to the Varsity Bound Power Index, they moved up to 7, but we've kind of talked about, you know, the official rankings that came out today. But so I think Benton is a team that's on the radar now a little bit. So yeah, I was at the Benton Williamsburg game last Tuesday at Williamsburg. Little bit of a bummer here, but Mason Eggleston, I think he was the WAMAC West Conference Player of the Year. He went down with an injury the game before. They were coming off a back-to-back, and I believe he's out for the season. So a little bit of a bummer there, but nevertheless, Benton played a really, really, really strong game against Williamsburg Tuesday. It was a show of the Gesner brothers. Casey, about halfway through the first period, he had a goal on put them on the board. And you know, goal scoring is just contagious. I've noticed kind of at every game I've been to this year, it seems like when one team scores, the other team's not far behind. There's usually more scoring to follow here in short order. So about 2 minutes after Casey's score, Max Wadianka, I believe is the last name there from Williamsburg, tied the game at 1. And then again, I got to see another overtime game. No scoring in the second period. And about halfway through that extra period, Casey Gesner had a chance to end the game on a header from a corner pass, and he just missed it. I mean, it was right there. I think his team thought that was it. Well, about 2 minutes later, his brother Caleb shot one, and it kind of went right underneath the goalie's fingertips and kind of just barely crossed that plane. There was some uncertainty when the ball was shot. You know, neither team really knew if it had gone in or not. And finally, the official gave the signal that the goal was good, and it was a walk-off winner for Benton. So a really, really impressive win for Benton, and they're off to a good start. I think they're 3-1 now. So that, you know, if they continue on that path, they'll definitely be up in the rankings here pretty soon, I would think.
Yeah, I think so. No goal line technology in the WAMAC conference yet. We
Yeah.
rely on the old eye test still in Iowa. But it's also nice to have your brother backing you up if you miss a goal and have him just I'll just end it a couple minutes later. Any other teams on the boys' side that stuck out to you last week?
Well, one last note on that Benton game. Those the Gezer brothers, they're pretty competitive. So that goal actually by Caleb tied him up with Casey on season goals. They're both at three. So just a little nugget there,
That's a
not that
race
they're
to
keeping
watch.
track or anything, but so kind of a fun little brotherly rivalry there. But another team that caught my eye, I gotta say it, North Fayette Valley. The Tiger Hawks went 3-1 this last week. And they had a really nice win on Saturday over 3A number 8 Marion over at the Cedar Valley Sports Complex. So, their lone blemish was actually the game after that. I think they played Marion in the morning and they played Dubuque Hempstead later in the day and they lost 2-0. But, overall, 3-1's a solid week. And anytime you can come up and beat a ranked 3A team on a neutral site, that's really impressive.
Yeah, that stuck out because North Fayette Valley's had that was the toughest day of their season, obviously, and to get just one win against that doubleheader is fantastic. Hempstead is in the 4A top 10 in the first IHSAA rankings as well. And who stuck out as your players of the week last week?
Yeah, so there's a couple. I'm gonna go back to North Fayette Valley for a second, and apologize if I mispronounced the last name, but Lincoln Eichelman is a junior from North Fayette Valley, and he had 5 goals against MFL Marmac on Monday, and 3 against Denver on Tuesday, and he's off to a really hot start. 14 goals on the season, which is good for fourth in the state. So, big week for him there. And then I got a couple honorable mentions from Iowa City Regina, Quinn Warren and Jack Hoover. Warren had four goals on Monday against Bellevue, and Hoover had let's see, 3 goals Friday against Anamosa. So those Regals are off to a nice 3-1 start. So those are kind of be my players of the week this week.
Yeah, there's Regina's in a just one of a really fascinating conference race too in the River Valley Conference. They've got four teams in the 1A top 10, I believe, in the IHSAA poll with Regina, West Branch, West Liberty, and Beckman. And it wasn't that long ago that they didn't even play conference soccer. And Regina still schedules some pretty tough non-conference games, but I always like following the conference standings, seeing who's going to come out with conference championships. So I think that's going to be a fun race to watch. Let's look ahead to this week. What are the games you're going to be covering? What are the games you're looking forward to the most?
Yeah, so there are some great games on the slate this week. So tomorrow night I will be at Marion. They're hosting two ranked teams here. Oh, actually, you know what? Marion girls are not ranked, but they're close. It'll be a game against 2 1-loss teams. So Marion hosts Clear Creek Amana tomorrow night. Clippers, off to that hot start, they're 5-1, ranked 15th. Marion, they're 4-1, and that's a team that went to state last year, returns a lot of their key players, just the one blemish, the one loss in the season. So, with a win, they're looking to get back in those rankings. Another good game on the girls' side would be let's see, Thursday, we have 2A number 11 Iowa City Liberty against 2A number 6 Central DeWitt. Central DeWitt's put up some impressive scores this season, so that'll be a good match. And then the third girls game I kind of have my eye on this week would be 2A number 10 Xavier. They're going to host Linmar, 3A number 6 Linmar on Friday. So some pretty exciting games to watch on the girls' side this week.
Linmar too is playing, I believe they're playing Bettendorf and Pleasant Valley this weekend after playing Xavier. And those are two ranked 3A teams. And Linmar has kind of owned the MVC the last few years. They lost their first two games to those CIML teams, but they're going to have a chance to get some statement victories against the MAC teams this weekend. So just in terms of postseason positioning and Linmar trying to get as high as the rankings as they can, that's going to be a really big week for them. What about the boys' side? What are you looking forward to?
Some good games on the boys' side too. Two good ones on Thursday. So Regina hosts Beckman at 5 o'clock on Thursday, and those two teams are the two teams at the top of their conference right now. Should be a good one. Those two are always rivals. Kind of doesn't matter what sport it seems. Also on Thursday, just down the road a little bit, Iowa City West host Prairie at 6:45. So Iowa City West Prairie, that's always good soccer. That's always good soccer. And it's going to be who can get that first goal across, I feel like, in that match. And then there's another one. This one's tomorrow night. We got Clear Creek Amana against they're going to host Marion. So you got the boys in Clear Creek Amana in Tiffin there. And then you got the girls who are going to host in Marion. But yeah, Clear Creek Amana is going to host number 10. Or I'm sorry, they're number 10. They're going to host number 8 Marion tomorrow night at 5. So really three solid games on both sides.
Good stuff. I don't want to jinx it, but I feel like we've lucked out weather-wise so far. Is that yeah. Am I right in that, or has there been kind of, has it been a little chilly when you're actually out in the elements?
Yeah, I would say when I went to that Independence game a couple weeks ago, it was pretty darn chilly. There was a little sleet coming down, little snow. Knock on wood, I think we're past that. I mean, gosh, if every night could be as beautiful as it is tonight, I think we'd be in good shape. But as far as the frigid temperatures, I think we're past it.
Okay, good. It's just going to get warmer, and then we'll be sweating at County Soccer Park in late May, early June, as is tradition. We're going to be back.
Can't wait.
We're going to be back every week until then, probably even maybe one more episode after then, recapping the state tournament. So this is going to be a regular feature here on the Iowa Prep Sports Podcast Network. Now that all the basketball is over with, I'm sad about that, but I do like soccer season too. So looking forward to it. Ryan, have a good week. Enjoy covering those games. Any last words from you?
No, just excited to see the WNBA draft. Excited to see. I wonder where Caitlin Clark's going to go. I'm looking forward to seeing that whole presentation.
Yeah. Luckily, if you don't want to watch the whole thing, I think you'll be able to tune in and find out pretty quickly. So
I think
Martin is a different story, but yeah, should be fun. And it should be another great week of soccer. So get out to a game, check out a live stream, whatever you can. And thanks for joining us here on Park the Bus.
Get a daily update from the Gazette with our daily news podcast. Add it to your podcast player or your Alexa-friendly device to get a bite-sized local news update each day. Check it out at thegazette.com/podcasts.